Hello, I'm been wanting to do this for quite a while. I've been th thinking about the whole thing with the writers, and I just am blown away when so much of us do so much work for you guys, and you just kind of like, oh, I'll just take it, whatever. I got my own worries, blah blah blah. And like, flock over people who are making tons of money but can't give us any freaking credit. So I figured, yeah, I've been wanting to do this for a while. I've got all of these bloopers that I've accumulated over. I even have ones all the way into freaking 14, like episode 14. I mean, that's how big this thing has gotten. And I'm like, I've said on various author's notes, I'm thinking maybe 50 or 100 episodes, and that's why I'm saying just get in touch with me for God's sake. I mean, really, it's just so bogus. Just go, oh, people put it out there, and it's on the internet. Good Lord. I just, I think of that, and I think of how easy it is. I mean, seriously, how easy it is. And the things that we take for granted in this world came about because some other people cared. For example, I enjoy a lot of conveniences in this day and age because a lot of suffragettes went through some really, really extreme torture to provide that for their granddaughters, and their daughters. Like, if you've seen Mary Poppins, what Glynis Johns is singing about as her character as the mother, what was she doing that for? She wasn't doing it for the glory, exactly, although they make it out that way in the film when she's singing the song Sister Suffragette. So, I mean, that's a good example. And the idea that we have come this far and can't appreciate it blows my mind. Totally blows my mind that we take for granted all these things and don't look at what people did in the past for our sakes. So I think I'm going to share with you a lighter side of the hard work that I'm doing by showing you all these bloopers. Now, this first one will be from, skip about a minute in my explanation if you don't want any spoilers, but Lily Munster is going to show up. She's a cousin to the Collins family. Easy enough, since who isn't? And so they need to go look for the possibility of a paramour that Elizabeth had who could be Victoria's father. And that is so not a giveaway, I think, because Victoria obviously was. I mean, they made hints about it at the beginning. Dan Curtis was going to have Victoria come back and say mother and drop on the floor, and that was how the show was going to end. I think that it was what a plan of his was going to be. So Elizabeth is going on a journey, and Lily tells her, make sure that you got a passport. So she has to get a passport. Now, of course, when she gets the passport, as many of us and you out there listening have likely experienced with either a passport, a driver's license, or some other form of identification, which you have to have a picture taken for, and having your picture taken, I gotta tell you, kids, it wasn't back in the day. Having your picture taken was not the glory it is now, I tell you. People take photographs, they take photographs of themselves, but I remember when I was a young tomboy, and all the kids would line up, not that any of them were my friends, of course, long story. We'd get the photographs back, and of course, I mean, all through in my entire public school career. Oh no, oh, don't show. Oh, my picture came out terrible. My hair. Oh. And for days, it is not the same universe at all now. I mean, in so little time has passed. The picture's terrible. And now we're like, oh, let's take a picture. Let's take a picture. And it's just like, if there is a expression of that photography steals your soul, I think that would be the answer as to why people are so soulless and not contacting me over this obviously kick-ass work. That might be the answer. Who knows? Maybe it's some weird metaphysical thing. So, now what we have here is Elizabeth getting her passport in the mail. It's a lovely scene that I just adore of her and Roger opening mail. And she says, speaking of smiles, I suppose I didn't give much of one in this photo. Why must these pictures always turn out so unflattering? Of course, I could do it now because I think I've had enough work. I haven't listened to Joan Bennett, so I just was doing it on the sly. That's what I normally do. I listen, I go to a clip, I listen, and I listen, and I listen, and I listen, which is, takes forever, to really try and get, just look at their jaw structure almost, to the point of, like, how are they talking? How are they moving? So it's not just, listening for the voice. It's also kind of looking at their mannerisms. So I felt that in my recording, it didn't come out so well. So I was trying these lines again. And here we have the result, which I am not going to noise clean. Why must... Gonna get it done. Why must these pictures always have to turn out so unflattering? God. Elizabeth, you're so wonderful. Why must these pictures always have to turn out so unflattering? Why must do these pictures always... Oh, God. Oh, God. I can't do it. Why must these pictures always have to turn out so unflattering? I can't do it. Oh shit, I can't do it. Now this next clip is from episode 8 that you also haven't seen. If you've heard episode 7, you know that I said, don't worry about making any noise. This is the blooper reel. So the clip is, from episode 7, Hoffman and Stokes are going to visit Willie Loomis at Wincliffe. Now, of course, there are some people, I have one guy that I chat with occasionally from LibriVox. He's been really busy, but he is a stickler for clean audio recordings. And because of that, I've been very persistent in trying to get the audio quality as good as I can, although it sounds like I shouldn't even bother because nobody gives a damn. And so as I was doing the performance for the first Willie scene, which I'm sure everybody's drooling to have, not that I know, and because I haven't been told, but... So Hoffman and Stokes meet Willie Loomis at Wincliffe, and all of a sudden, in the background, somebody had either a leaf blower or were clipping their hedges or something. So here is the result of what went down when that happened.
Like the old stove.
See, Doctor? Likes working with his hands. Hands on things.
Willie...
Oh, boy. Now that I've finally gotten in the fucking mood. Oh, well, I guess somebody's trimming the frickin' hedges outside Wincliffe. Sorry, guys.
Like the old stove.
Oh, I'd already said that. Sorry. Okay, this next one is... I actually don't know where it's from. It was me getting up to do a... door closing, and it has me reading aloud the text so that I know what I'm doing when I edit and put in the sound effects where they should be on the audio. So here you go with this one. Footsteps. Door closes. More footsteps. Oh, shit. Crap. Okay. Door closes. Now, this next clip is from episode 7. And now you'll notice that when I work with these characters, when I try to perform all of them, whenever they say something funny, that of course I've put those words into their mouths, I really do give those characters the credit because, as I say, I really tried to get the characters down, including the humor that they would use, like what's happening with Barnabas in the future. I noticed that what I could give Barnabas wasn't so much something that he would just say, like the fro line I didn't feel would really fit him, but there is something in the future, the Better Homes and Gardens people come back and he's not too happy about that. And so I noticed with giving Barnabas humor, it was more like he would react to somebody else saying something to him and he could just get a line out and it would be a very authentic Barnabas line, because what I found working with his character is that he'll respond to something. Although I did really, of course, appreciate the, "What would you suggest, Doctor, that we play cards or cribbage?" which I thought was a very fun thing. Of course, that I made most of my 6th episode about, the cribbage game. But it, working with Barnabas, it's more a case of somebody will say something, and his rejoinder is what's going to be funny about him. And what is funny about him is that he will respond to things. He won't give the kind of humor in my writing where he makes a suggestion to anyone randomly. It's more like when somebody says something, he responds to it in a funny way. However, Roger is quite outspoken. Thank you, Louis Edmonds. You really did such a wonderful performance. Rest in peace. He's outspoken, and so in this clip, you will hear me thanking him for that. It's when he's coming in to meet Blair for the first time, in my version. And he's really not, like I say in the text version of The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, Episode 7, Blair Warlock Projected, which I also think that is a damn funny title, considering the Blair Witch Project. I wrote him responding really uninterestedly, or kind of poking his nose down at Nicholas Blair. You know, he's not afraid of him in this version. And when he explains the annulment, I have it written, you know, because Blair's getting all pissed off about the whole thing. He's getting affronted. And Nicholas is like, "An annulment to Cassandra? On what grounds?" And, of course, you know, he goes through the list and he's all abandonment, being under the influence, you know, lack of consummation, which I think is hilarious because, honestly, I think Cassandra wouldn't have even bothered. I don't think she would have touched him with a 10-foot pole. I think it was just to get to Barnabas. She probably just put a dream in his head that they did something, but he knew better, of course, in my version. So he responds to Nicholas Blair getting affronted, and I wrote it down as unfazed, almost bored. I just think it's so funny. And I think it's funny to you guys, too. I have no idea. I've not been told about this. You know, I really haven't. You know, maybe it is just so damn good that you can't pick anything. That's why I suggested. So just say you're really, really enjoying it. So here is Roger and me getting his lines wrong. Okay, let's see if I can actually do this shit. Oh, God. All right. So Roger walks in. "What's all this then?" "Oh shit, I can't do this. Oh God." "What's all this then?" "Oh, fine attire. Gloves even." "God damn it, Roger, you're killing me." Now, I think this is the last clip. Also from episode 7. Same scene. Trying to get Elizabeth and Nicholas Blair's lines, and I just, same thing. "I suppose I'll answer that.
as matronly as I am, and without enough house staff. And without...
Lucy, I love you. Not enough house staff. God, shit, I do need booze, God.
And without enough house staff. Yes, and I haven't passed away. Okay, let's try this again. Oh, shit. I think I need to listen to her again. You say that as though it's supposed to mean something to me. Threatening scene music which chokes and dies away.
Shit! Fuck! God, you guys suck for not telling me this is funny! Now, let's get to these papers.
Yes. Yes, Mr. Peterson.
God damn it, this episode is fucking funny! Yep, this was what Mr. Evans meant by the "oh wait, but this scenario." Yep, this was what Mr. Evans meant by the "oh wait, but this scenario." God damn it. So, that's the blooper reel, and, hey, if, me breaking down on you guys didn't do it, I hope this sure as hell does. I'm going to, obviously, tag it with explicit, because I am swearing and hopefully not offending anyone by taking the Lord's name in vain or anything, but, you know, just, you know, when I do that, I actually do think of a higher cosmic power. I am really... quite spiritual about that. I don't say that with any kind of disregard, and I don't think that it really is in vain, honestly. I've got to talk to somebody. I'm pretty alone, obviously. So, God's it. Take care.